Welcome, everybody, to WFHR's Playmakers for this October 17th, 2022. Brought to you by Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out. A big thank you and a good morning to all of our friends at Quality Plus Printing. Your host, James J. Maloff, here. We're going to have some fun. Seth Hathacker going to join us a little bit later. We'll take some more of your phone calls. Looking forward to all of that. Right now, joining us in studio, head coach and GM of your Wisconsin Rapids River Kings, Coach Paul Peckman. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Paul, it's good to have you here.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
It's not just good to have you here in the studio, sir. It's good to have you here in town. Good to have you here with the River Kings. You and I touched on this a little bit. We've talked about it on the air a little bit with some listeners. Former coach, GM, Coach Quarters, very, very well liked and really represented in the community really well. Wish him greatness, in his next stage and all that and everything. But with that, letting go of somebody, there is the excitement of something new coming in, and the excitement around this team is always there. But with this new, for lack of a better way to put it, flavor that we've got with the team, there's an excitement there, and it's very similar. And I apologize if this is a bad metaphor or bad analogy, but it reminds me a little bit of my Blackhawks, where Coach Quinville is in there forever, and Coach Q may go down as the greatest Blackhawk coach of all time. But that after a while it gets a little old in the locker room and everything, and he has to move on, and they bring in new blood, and it just kind of regenerates the team a little bit and everything. And then sometimes it's just necessary for those things. So I want to get into a little of that with you, how you're getting used to town here. But let's start out right away with a bit of your origin story. Where are you from, Paul?
I am from Long Island, New York.
Really?
Grew up there. I went away to prep school early. I went to a school in Lake Placid for 2 years, and I transferred to South Kent, Connecticut, played prep there for 3 years, and then got recruited to play at UConn. So I'm an East Coast guy, entire life.
You grow up anywhere near Lake Placid, don't you have to get into hockey? Don't you almost have to? With that, though, how young were you when you fell in love with hockey?
4.
Right on.
Yeah.
Right on.
Yeah, it was one of those things where my father brought me and my brothers to the rink one day, and I have an older brother and a younger brother, and we just saw it for the first time, and he basically asked all of us, what do you want to do? And if he's playing, I want to play, and all three of us started at the same time. So.
Do you have a position you played?
I played center.
Right on. Okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah. So that's how it was, and I notice I asked you, when did you find out that you liked hockey or whatever? No, when did you love hockey? When did you fall in love with hockey? Because nobody chases this. Nobody keeps going at it for a career without loving it. Because nobody really, even a guy like a Lemieux or a Gretzky or any of these guys, modern guys, looking at some of these kids like MacKinnon or McDavid or any of them, they all got to go through training. They all got to go through the same grind that almost every hockey player ever has had to. Mm-hmm. And so you do this sport if you love it. Like it's similar to baseball to me in that regard, where you're only going to follow through on this sport if you love it. College, football, you get a scholarship to a college, you go there, you get drafted by a team. It's pretty basic, very similar to basketball. Sometimes in basketball, you don't even have to go to school. Yeah. But hockey, baseball, these are sports that your passion is tested very early on.
Well, I think facing adversity really determines how much you love it. And how much you want to pursue your goals, and whether that happens early on in life. You could be 10, 12. I was 12 years old. Broke my thigh in 3 places playing the game. And so I was laid up for an entire year.
Yeah.
And that really tests you, as a kid. And I remember I was in a body cast, and I told my father I wanted to go away to prep school. And he's like, what are you, nuts? And so the rehab and all that, that's really where you find out, is this something that you really want to do?
Yeah.
And again, I'm not a big guy, right? So, I mean, my odds back then in the 80s was, it was always bigger, right?
Yeah.
We go with the big, slow guy opposed to the small guy until, a decade later. But so that's probably when I found out that how much I love the game and how much I was willing to make the sacrifices and putting in the time and the effort, getting back to where I was and getting better.
I've talked to some of the coaches at the River Kings. I coached a coach, the Rafters, and I talked to Coach Quarters about this before. With this job, yeah, you got to worry about, you know, getting your lines right. You know, who I want on my third line, my fourth line, what defensive team do I want to put together, what power play team do I want, all that stuff. But then you have the added on thing too of you got all these kids chasing a dream, hunting down a dream. So you also are trying to help them do that and pursue that. How do you balance those?
It's not easy.
Yeah, I imagine.
It's well, to me, you know, my the reason why I do this is for them, and my job is to put them in the best situation where they're going to be successful. So if a guy is not an offensive-minded guy, he's probably not going to play the power play.
Right.
But he could be a good penalty killer. Mm. Right? And he's good on the defensive side of the puck. So my job is to know the strengths and the weaknesses of these guys and help them, you know, play to their strengths and build their weaknesses and help them evolve as a player. And as we go through that, that's what we talk a lot in the player meetings that we have weekly, and go through the film. And they can see themselves, and when you're clicking it, okay, and they're watching them do things that was good, what are we doing here? You know, and then just try to take that to the ice and get better. And so, you know, I mean, it's early. Listen, we're off to a good start, but, you know, have no illusion. We're not going 44-0. That'll be very difficult. And, you know, things are going to start getting tougher. So my job is, and here's a good example, is after the first game, I mixed up all the lines for the second game. Right? So, and we won, right?
Yeah.
But it is certain guys are struggling.
Yeah,
certain guys are not. So maybe if I put this guy over here, they'll help him get going. Yeah. And this guy is doing well, so I'll put him here. These guys need help. So it's just it's a chess match, and then you got to play the game, right? And then who's doing what during the course of that game really depends on who's going to play in the critical situations. You know, you win 2-1 twice. It comes down to the last second. So you got to make sure you got the right guys in the right spots that you feel they've earned the right to be there, and that they're going to succeed. And that's always the thought process, for me anyway.
Right on. Well, what would you say is your coaching style, whether it's on the ice or off the ice?
My style is just teaching and demanding being committed to putting in the effort. We have those signs in our locker room. That's what I've told them, each and every one of them, when I recruited them. That's all I ask. Be committed to putting in the effort on and off the ice, and how you conduct yourself, right? You know, you will be held accountable. There's too many people here watching. Everybody cares about the River Kings, which is tremendous opportunity. For these guys, and I want them to experience it to the fullest, and that means doing the right thing. You know.
Yeah, well said. When it comes to your why you took this job in particular, why this job, why Rapids?
The community.
Right on.
It was the biggest thing for me. You know, Marty always had a good program. The opportunity came about where there was a few different things that we were looking at, and at the time when this name was brought up, I knew about the program, and I heard a lot about the community and the support and the fan base and all that stuff, which I think is a tremendous, it gives us a tremendous advantage.
You know?
So I wanted to be part of that.
Yeah. And have you been enjoying your time here so far?
It's been tremendous.
Right.
Love it.
Right. Love it. I have to go back to something, too, that you were talking about, your coaching style and the way you approach things. Got to the rink with Steph about 2 weeks ago, what it was, to talk to the guys and interview them and everything. And it was just, it was noticeable right away. Like, you just get there, and you see the way that these guys are paying attention to you. And even when you were talking to Steph and I, or you were doing something else, like, they're aware of where you are. They're aware of, if you're talking, we're listening. Like, and that, like somebody grew up in a hockey family and seeing my dad and all that, like I'm used to seeing those kind of things. But I it's been a long time since I saw it. And these are young men, and you haven't had years here to do, to build this and all that. You haven't been had years with them to build this respect. Man, those kids right away, right, just locked in. Like, what did coach say? What, you tell them, hey, go in twos, and we're gonna, this guy's going to interview each of you. And what did they do? They lined up and did it. Right. Like, every single one of them. It speaks to their character as kids, certainly, and a big shout out to them and their families.
Right.
But it also speaks to the kind of tone that you set there. That's not easy to balance, of being able to be approachable and likable, and at the same time, you know, listen when, you know, you got to listen sometimes, guys, especially in hockey, where when the game's going on, 5-10 seconds can change the whole course of the game if you're not paying attention. Oh, I got to jump out there. Oh, it's my turn. So, you know, that kind of thing. When it comes to the changes in the NHL and just in hockey in general, I'd like to talk to you about for a second, because we're you know, doing a little homework on you there, Paul. I noticed we come from similar backgrounds, also both big hockey lovers, and I've talked to my dad about this a number of times. The idea that the fighting has gotten so out of hockey. My dad is of two minds of it. There's a part of him that is a little angry, I think, because he got like 3 broken noses in hockey. but no, there's a part of him that he's always loved the speed of hockey, the skates, the artistry of it and everything, just as much as he loves the physicality of it. And for him, when he's watching modern games, he doesn't see a huge change from that, except for the breaks that you would have from a fight occurring. So he hasn't seen a big difference. Have you seen a big change in hockey? Do you like some of these things that they have done on the top level?
I do. With the amount of the game has progressed so much with all the training, you know, these kids are so much better than even when I played. You know, so to faster, you know, bigger, stronger, faster, right? I mean, that's always the mantra when you're training. And it's, I don't mind, you know, like I said, I'm not a big guy. So fighting back in my day, I wasn't the guy fighting.
Right.
I was the guy, you know, I always had guys coming over my top of my shoulder defending. But so I don't mind. I don't miss that as much because, you know, the beauty of this game is just speed and finesse. To me, and don't get me wrong, I love the physical part, and we have guys that can bang, and that's a very much a big part of the game, which I like. But the fighting part of it, I don't miss that as much, no.
Well, and I got to say, too, for me, and I am a little biased, doesn't mean I'm wrong, I think that hockey players are arguably the greatest athletes in the world, what they are able to do. The speed, the accuracy, all the different things that they're asked to do as players, and oh yeah, do it on ice and on these thin pieces of metal, you know, these razor blades. Do it all and do that. It's like asking a football player to do everything they do, and then I'm also going to put you on roller skates.
Right.
You know, like, good luck. Like, it's incredible what they're able to do and how they're able to do it. So when you see people who are great at it, you want to see them excel at being able to like achieve what they're able to do. You certainly need a little bit of you know, challenge to it, and that's where your bruisers come in and a lot of that. But I don't mind the fact that you don't see the quote unquote goon anymore. Like those guys, they don't really. It used to be every team had one, at least one.
Right.
Now you don't see that as much anymore, and I think that the game has grown from it, popularity wise, which is maybe one of the more important factors. Because as much as there are guys like you and I that are always going to love and breathe hockey, the sport survives by getting new people, and in new communities. Which when the River Kings opened up here years ago, we were a community that they thought, oh, well, I bet you it'll go here, and I don't think anybody could have guessed how well this would go with the River Kings here in Rapids. To that point, your first game here is a record breaker. Like, they break an attendance record. Like, that's incredible. That's a great way to start, man. And it just, it speaks to, like, it's not as if the River Kings are a new thing here. Like, it's not like they went to the game because, oh, let's check this out. We've never seen this. They've been here long enough now. You start out that way. You start out with this team undefeated. How do you go? Where do you go from there? Because one of the best things about coaching, you said learning is one of those things. What do you learn from when you're doing everything right, it seems?
Well, we're not doing anything. We're not doing everything right. I mean, there's a lot to pick on and to get better at. And we see that during the course of the game. We talk about that in between periods, before games. What kind of style do we want to play, and how do we what I talk about in practice a lot is doing the things that we do well and trying to perfect them. Mm-hmm. Now, when you talk about perfection, that's not attainable. Yeah. But the striving for it gives these guys something. You know, it's like hanging a carrot in front of them and just keep getting better at what we're good at. Yeah. And let's work on the things and let's kind of evolve our game as a whole. You know, we're learning different styles and different plays on how we want to attack. And the defending is, you know, we come up. We have a good system in place, and guys are buying in, and they're doing their jobs. I mean, when you give up 2 goals in a weekend, you know, we've given up 10 goals in 6 games. That's what's going to win championships, and everybody knows it. Everybody says it, but very few do it, right? So if you're committed to playing playoff hockey for 44 games, then you're ready for it, and you don't have to change your style. You don't have to start mixing up things and trying different things when the season's on the line. You've already been there, done that. And to me, and that's, you know, that's the progression with these kids. That's how they're going to learn. They're going to go through the ebbs and flows of the season. You know, we're going to win hopefully more than we lose, right? And then as we go through that, and when it comes playoff time, we'll be prepared. And then, you know what, we'll go play the game, see how it goes. But I'm confident we have a lot of talent in that room. And you know, the work ethic matches their talent. We'll be all right.
Again, Coach, congratulations on the start to the season. I know you guys got the this weekend. You're taking on the Minnesota. Taking on the Minnesota Blue Ox this weekend, and then the next time you're home, you'll be taking on the Minnesota Squatch. That'll be November 11th and 12th. The next time you're back here in town, but I know you guys got a bit of a road trip going on here the next couple of weekends. Safe travels to you all. Have fun out there. Enjoy yourself. Game on. You know, enjoy it. And thank you so much for joining us, guys. Really good to talk with you, Paul.
Thanks for having me.
We'll talk again real soon, okay?
Yes, sir.
We'll take a break right here. We'll come back, take some phone calls, and have some more fun on Playmakers at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back to Playmakers, everybody, here at WFHR. Of course, Playmakers brought to you by our good friends at Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out. Seth Habhager sitting in with us now. Good morning, Seth.
Good morning, everyone.
How was your weekend? How are you doing?
It was super busy and super tiring, and I'm still recovering. But I'm here. I'm here.
You know, and I appreciate you still being here, even with that all being said. I had you when I told you we were going to talk baseball, though. So
yeah, of course you did.
I promise we will. But I got a good segue to go into the baseball playoffs and everything to touch on that. Actually, a really good story of the day.
Oh, awesome.
And I'm going to include this in tomorrow's morning show and everything. But I did.
Cool.
So we actually have two good stories during this hour here during Playmakers.
Oh, how about that?
Sometime between now and the end of the hour, we're going to give away a pair of River Kings tickets.
Awesome.
So be listening for that.
Yeah.
And we all fell in love with the voice of your radio rafters this past 22 season, Brett Loftus.
Yes. Yes, we did.
Brett and I have been staying in touch still and talking a little bit back and forth, and I am so happy to let people know. Well, I'm just going to read this from Brett's own Twitter account.
Oh, excellent.
I'm very happy to announce that I am moving to Bismarck, North Dakota to work as a play-by-play broadcaster for BEK Sports. Thank you all, my friends, family, and my Lord Savior Jesus Christ for the continued support. I'm excited to continue chasing my dreams.
Wow.
Congratulations, Brett.
Congratulations to you, Brett. You're going to go play. He's getting big. He's going to get big, I'm telling you.
The least shocking support story to come out of the news this weekend is that Brett Loftus has got a job.
Yeah, he's amazing, right?
No kidding. Yeah, shocker. But no, I mean, he'll be the first to tell you, young announcers coming out of school don't get a lot of gigs very on. Oftentimes, they're just going from state to state.
As quickly as, they got to keep moving. Got to keep moving.
And this ain't just a job. This is a gig. This is not just a gig. This is a career.
Yeah, this is.
Notice he didn't say they hired me to do baseball. They hired me to do this sport. The fact that he's being hired by the network means that they're going to use him in everywhere they can. That's pretty darn cool.
I hope he enjoys North Dakota. He's from Alabama, right?
Yeah.
That'll be fun. Enjoy that, Brett.
That's going to be fun. That's going to be interesting. I had to share that news.
That's great.
I was very excited about that.
That is so nice for him. Good on him.
I do want to talk a little baseball, though, with you, Seth.
All right.
As the MLB playoffs are going on, and they are insane. why do people gamble? Why do people gamble?
It's stupid.
I don't understand.
Don't do it.
If you started the MLB playoffs and you were gambling on this, who would you bet on? Yankees and Dodgers. Okay, I feel pretty safe that the Dodgers, who have arguably the greatest team ever put together, and the Yankees, who have an incredible payroll and the MVP and all this, well, they're going to move on for sure.
You're right.
I don't even need to look at the scores. I know that who's going to be in the World Series pretty much. I'll just wait until the World Series and wait. Who are these teams? What happened? What's going on? It is crazy.
I am excited. So far, two outcomes are kind of the ones I hope for. National League, the NLCS is going to be awesome.
Mm.
The Phillies and the Padres. Oh my gosh, who would have predicted the Phillies and the Padres, man?
I definitely.
That is so. I'm just stoked for that one. And then we'll find out tonight who's going to be. You know, the Astros. Yeah. You know, I guess that was kind of a. They're the only one though that have really not surprised anybody because you know they'd already taken care of the Mariners during the regular season. I guess we kind of saw that coming, but you can never ever count out Cleveland.
No,
because they have one of the great managers of our time, Terry Francona. He is one of the best.
Yeah, Franco, one of my favorite coaches in sports, not just in baseball, but in sports. He always has been.
Yep.
Even going back, and I don't like Boston usually, but I even liked him at Boston. I even liked Boston a little bit because of
him. Yes, absolutely.
I couldn't agree with you more on there. I'm still surprised that the Cardinals aren't in this still. I'm still surprised. It happened it feels like 5 years ago now with the way these things go so quickly.
Yeah.
But I did not see that coming. That out of all these things, the thing that has surprised me the most, now I'm being genuine here, is that the Cardinals didn't move on. They were so hot, and we see this since we were kids.
Yeah.
The team with the momentum, the team with the heat, they're the ones that tend to usually move on in the playoffs.
It seems that way. It really does, but...
The momentum is today's starting pitcher. I mean,
you got
that
whole
phrase,
man. You got it.
Let's take a phone call. Good morning. You're on the show.
Yes. When I was growing up, it was always Yankees and Dodgers every single year.
Yeah, it was.
I'm so tired of that. I'm so glad that we're having an all wild card National League Championship Series. Mm-hmm. Padres and the Phillies. That's so awesome that they beat all those high ranked teams.
I couldn't agree with you more.
Watch out, Yankees. They're coming. Watch out, Yankees.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we'll find out tonight as Cleveland and New York are tied at 2-2. They're going to be playing tonight.
Five, yeah.
TBS.
Yankees,
Let me ask you something, and I'll ask this to you and Seth, especially with the age difference. I think that this is a unique question. Most diehard baseball fans I know, like you guys, like my dad, a lot of the rule changes has bothered you, and nothing more than what it meant to win the pennant. That you won the pennant, that's how you moved on, that was it.
That was it, yeah.
Didn't matter if you won 100 games, did you win the pennant?
Yep.
Now, with the expanded playoffs, I've seen some pushback from a lot of people who love traditional baseball, but then you wouldn't have things like this happening if you didn't have it. So where do you fall on this, sir? Do you like that they've expanded the playoffs? And I know they did this a while ago, but do you like the format the way it is?
Yeah, I really do. Gave us six teams the chance to make it to the pennant for the series on each league. So, that was awesome. Yeah.
I'm with it too. I mean, I'm a big fan of it. I like it now better than the way it was before because now it does give you more incentive to win the division. Mm. You have a better record, and that's I think very important. And so because then they don't have what happened to the Cardinals.
Yeah.
They don't have what happened to the Mets.
Yeah.
And then because you have that extra round, you don't know what's going to happen. So the Mets losing out the last part of the season, that ended their season. Because they wouldn't have, if they had beaten the Philly or the Braves, they would have gotten in they would have been skipped. So they would have skipped that round completely, and who knows what would have happened then. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Just in the short time.
Even the Cardinals get knocked out, that was so thrilling for me. I just loved it.
Yes.
I just loved it.
That's great.
Couldn't agree more.
Yeah.
I appreciate the call, sir. You have a great week.
One little hockey question. Not question, but comment. In Racine, I grew up in Racine. They didn't have hockey. Kenosha had a hockey rink, but we didn't. I drove kindergarten route for 27 years. One of my kindergarten kids played hockey in Kenosha. He come on the bus with a tooth missing. I said, Billy, what happened to your tooth? He said, he got knocked out playing hockey. I said, oh, awesome. You know, little five-year-old.
Got to start him early, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good one. Thank you, sir. Always good to talk to you. You have a great day. Good to talk to you. I love it. He's a great
That's
caller.
A good
That's
one.
A good one. That's a good story.
But, I mean, this is really generous. I think the only people more – the people who are most surprised by the NLCS this year are the Philadelphia Philly fans.
Yeah.
After the weird year they had, I mean – they just got to be smiling from ear to ear. They might actually be nice for a little while.
Right. It might be.
For a little while.
I mean, the Eagles are winning. That's,
yeah,
you know,
look
the Phillies. I mean, actually, people in Philadelphia, this might be the time to go visit Philly.
Yeah.
Like, if you've ever wanted to get a cheesesteak from Philly, now's the time to go.
Do it. They're actually going to love each other.
Yeah.
Brotherly love.
Let's take a call before we go to commercial break. Good morning. You're on the show.
Hey, good morning, Gabe.
Hey, good morning, sir. How are you?
Yeah, I watched a little of that Packer game yesterday. Well, what a fiasco. The best part was there was a handful of Jet fans in the stands, and in the running back from New York Hall, he did the Lambo leap.
I saw that young man. He's a rookie, Breece Hall, and he's an exciting rookie. And I saw him making a beeline for the stands, and I could tell what he was going to do. And immediately I'm like, well, this is the last time we'll see Breece Hall. We're never seeing him again. He just happened to find the one, like the four Jets fans that were in Lambeau. And like, boy, that kid lucked out. I saw that too, Gary. That was pretty interesting. It's a funny thing. Thank you for the call, bud. Always appreciate it.
Hey, James, I'm still taking Cleveland tonight.
You got Cleveland? I'm glad you said that. I was going to ask you who you got tonight. Okay, you got Cleveland tonight?
Yeah, remember last week I called you and I said Cleveland is going to be a really interesting team coming down.
They always are in the playoffs.
Gary called this.
Yeah,
yeah, you did. Yeah, I remember that. I'll remember it the whole playoffs, Gary. Always good.
Yeah, Cleveland and the Phillies.
Yeah, yeah. Good luck stopping those teams right now. Again, I just got done saying momentum.
Yep.
I mean, you know, it's just it's funny how quickly that can change. The Seattle Mariners, I thought, had plenty of momentum.
Yep.
And that died out. Like,
died
up. Just like right there. Like they spent it all or whatever.
Yeah.
Or like, was it last year that the Dodgers in San Francisco like just beat the daylights out of each other in that round?
Yeah, they did.
By the time that they got to the next round, Dodgers had nothing left.
Yeah, like, and that's when Atlanta took them out. Yep. Mm. Yep.
We'll take a break.
Peter's got 3-for-3 now.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. He's righting the ship.
Yeah.
Yeah,
no kidding.
He seems to be doing pretty well. Yeah. Appreciate the call, Gary. Always. Thanks so much for calling up. And we want more phone calls. 424-2600 is the number to call. We'll come back and have some more fun here on Playmakers, which is brought to you by Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out here at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody, to Playmakers here at WFHR. Hope you're having a good one out there. I want to talk a little NFL. We want to talk a little bit of college football and certainly get into some high school football as well. First up, let's take a phone call. Good morning. You're on the show.
We're not going to talk NFL or college football. We
can't. whatever you
just
want to talk about.
Just so glad that baseball is going on.
Yes, yes. Right on, right on. What do you want to talk about today, bud?
Well, obviously it's going to be baseball because we can't talk about football.
No,
it's ugly over the weekend.
I'm glad you brought that up. We should say football's been outlawed today on the show.
I think so. Yeah.
You know, and I know Seth, you're a Twins fan, and James, you're a White Sox fan. Let's take a look at these playoffs right now. The teams that are in the playoffs still. I mean, granted, we got tonight's game with the Cleveland and New York.
Mm-hmm.
These guys are top five or top six or whatever what it is in salary.
Mm-hmm.
So now we got to look at from you know obviously on Twins aspect and the Brewers and the White Sox, we need to start spending some money.
Yeah,
you know, I agree.
To get to these positions. I mean, tonight we can actually have the top two teams and salary wise out of the playoffs altogether if the Yankees lose tonight because
right.
We got the Dodgers out and now. Now we just got to let you get Houston out, then we'll be even better.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it just, seeing this, it just sickens me when you have an owner sit there and say, well, we're going to do everything we can to make the playoffs, bring a championship to Milwaukee or bring a championship to wherever.
Mm-hmm.
And then you turn around and you trade away your best player in the bullpen. Mm-hmm. You know, granted, things didn't probably work out the best way out there for them. But, I mean, look what happened after that. You know, and, what is he saying to these players? And I know we've talked about this, and I know, James, you've kind of really talked about this. What are you saying to your players?
Yeah.
I'm going to sit there and give you lip service, but in the long run, I'm going to try to put money back in my pocket and not worry about it. So as a Brewer fan, it is very frustrating seeing the top 10, basically I think with the top 10 in playoffs, salary-wise, mm-hmm. in the playoffs.
Yep. And it does translate. It really does. It seems to lately. You know, I would be one of those things. It's two interesting things, I think, for the offseason for both the Brewers and the Twins. With the Twins first, it's going to see if they do any pursuit of Carlos Correa.
Mm-hmm.
Because he opted out, which everyone expected him to do. He had a very good season. And so he's probably going to test the market, which, you know, he's 28 years old. He's at the top of his game. Mm-hmm. He's going to do that. And, of course he's going to do that. It'll be interesting to see if the Twins pursue him at all, if they try again to sign him to another contract. And then that'll be a good indication of where the front office for the Twins is mm-hmm. and where they're planning on this. The Brewers, oh, man, they have such good pitching. This is the year they got to go all in on some hitters. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Christian Yelich is not going to be the guy anymore. He's proved it the last couple of years. He's not that guy anymore. He's not a bad player.
At the very least, you can't count on him to be that
exactly.
that guy,
the MVP guy. That he right. was. Yeah. You can't do that anymore, and that's okay. Yeah. But you got to get some bats, man.
Yeah.
It's a great park to hit in. And you need to give these pitchers some back. Man, they need something.
Yeah.
Please, don't waste them because they're going to be gone soon too, probably. Your window is shrinking.
You look at what happened with the Mets and DeGrom and Syndergaard.
Yeah.
And they thought and they had the Dark Knight too. What's his name?
Matt Harvey.
And they thought, oh, well, we got these three pitchers. We'll have this for the next 10 years.
Nope.
And, yeah.
Well, and I think, I don't remember if it was this show or another talk show I talked about, you were listing all the arbitrations coming up.
We did touch on that a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, there's a lot that the Brewers have to do. I mean, there's a lot there, but what kind of stinks that, I mean, if you notice, you know, granted, Renfro did kind of work out, but it seems like since, you know, we lost Fielder, Weeks, Corey Hart and those guys, mm-hmm. you know, obviously they're older players and years ago, we lost the hitting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's like, just seemed like ever since those guys have gone, or even when Luke Corey was there and he was hitting the ball.
Yeah.
And Braun.
And Ryan Braun, yeah. Mm-hmm.
The hitting has gone. I mean, the blueprint's there.
You know, I think it's part of the reason why we remember that CC Sabathia year with the Brewers so clearly, because they're not always buyers. They're very seldom buyers. So not only were they buyers in that situation, but it being a situation where it went so well for them being a buyer. Right. I know they didn't win the title, but the CC, you can't say that trade didn't work out in to a big degree.
Right.
And it's this contrast that exists in sports, and maybe it's no more evident than in baseball, where the difference of the way the owners approach the game and the way fans do.
Yeah.
Owners are approaching it, and the majority of them, especially in baseball, almost like it's a mom-and-pop business.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all about bottom line. It's all about titles, whatever, playoffs, whatever. What are we making at the gate? What are we making at the gate? Whereas the fan doesn't give a dang about the gate, doesn't give a dang about those things and stuff. I want to win. Give me a World Series. I waited this long for a World Series, or I've never seen a World Series or something like that. And you're always going to have this. I don't know how that balances out. I look at like the Oakland A's of years ago.
Yeah.
It hasn't been as much in the last couple of years, but for how long did we see the A's are projected to finish in the bottom of their division and have no bankroll? And what do? They get ended up in the playoffs.
Yeah, exactly.
It just never failed.
Yeah.
You could always seem to count on it.
Yep.
And if not them, at least one team like that.
Yeah.
Now, as you put, caller, as you put it right away in the beginning of this conversation, like, that just doesn't happen much anymore, if at all.
With the exception of maybe Tampa.
Yeah.
Because they have a great system down there, and they don't need a lot of money for whatever reason. They still made the playoffs this year. They didn't get very far, but again, they're in the lower part, but they're the only ones. The other ones are all the big guys.
And this is where...
Right.
Go ahead, sir.
And I don't think, I mean, could the Brewers do it again on a lower payroll? or could Tampa Bay win the World Series again on Lorb? Yes, it could. Mm-hmm. But it's just, like you said, it's the system.
Yeah.
And right now, I think the system in Milwaukee, they lost a lot of trust. That's huge. I mean, I don't know, do they get rid of Stearns and let Stearns go to the Mets and bring somebody else in? Mm-hmm. Or is it time to say, okay, Council, you didn't have enough guts to tell Stearns not to make the trade, so are you really got our back? You know, I think they lost the locker room there the second half of the season.
Possible. Yeah, it is.
Oh, yeah. And I think it's a shame, too, because I don't think Stearns is a bad GM.
Nope.
And I know I feel very confident that Craig Council is a good manager.
Yes.
I think he is a manager that, if you gave him the right team, could win a World Series. I genuinely believe that. But you're right about losing the locker room, because you could be the greatest coach in history, and when they see this guy going,
yep,
who isn't just a good player, arguably your best player, he's a lovable player. Like, everybody loves him. Everybody likes playing with him. So
yep,
you add that on top of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard not to lose the locker room in that situation. It's almost difficult not to lose it.
Here's my prescription, except that he's in Philadelphia. The Brewers need to get rid of Stern and bring in Dave Dombrowski. If you want someone who can spend money, get Dave Dombrowski in there. And everywhere he goes,
yeah,
like Philadelphia,
yeah,
same
yeah
thing happened.
Yeah.
I'm telling you. Man.
But you have to have an owner that's going to be willing to
exactly
that money.
Yeah, you do.
Right. And this is where I come in as a White Sox fan, where my team spends money.
Yeah, you got lots of money.
They're just dumb with it. They just don't know what they're doing. I got Jerry Reinsdorf, who wants to give Bo Jackson, after hip surgery, a 4-year deal. Like, he's the highest paid player in our team, and he can barely make it out of the farm system. Like, this is the ownership I've been dealing with. And then, you know what? I finally have the nucleus of one of the greatest young assembles of talent in baseball history.
Mm-hmm.
I've got all this. But you know what? I've always wanted to give my guy Tony a job back. I feel bad about that. So forget the fan base, forget winning a World Series, all these things. I want to do something for me. And it doesn't become...
Yeah.
Most owners approach these teams, even if they are approaching it as a mom-and-pop business, as, well, it's not about me, it's about the fans. Jerry Reinsdorf has never spent a day of his life looking at that team as anything but his toy. Anything but his toy. So as a fan base, even when we win a World Series back in 2005,
mm-hmm,
I can't enjoy it like I have seen other championships, like mm-hmm the Bulls or the Bears or anything, because
yep
I got him up there. And with the Bulls, I had the same problem. I've got an owner who not only do I not like, I don't respect. I have no respect for.
Mm-hmm.
And it's more of a thing of like where no matter who it's the same thing with the Bears. No matter who they bring in, they have no benefit of the doubt with me. They've shown me nothing. What's the one consistent thing I've seen with that team? The ownership. Same thing with the White Sox.
Yep.
So I don't worry. it's almost one of those things where, I don't have the problem of my team not spending money, but I don't trust them even when they do spend the money.
Right.
Whereas with the Brewers, where you're just begging them to spend some money. You're
please
just begging, you know, please. You
please
know, we'll worry about trusting your decisions later. Just spend some darn money.
And then it helps the fan base. It excites the fan base. Go out and get a big free agent. People will start buying a whole bunch of tickets to see him. That's what happens.
I'll ask both of you this. I'll ask the caller, anybody else out there, 424-2600. Give me the last time a team went bankrupt. Give me the last team to go bankrupt in sports. I'll wait.
Crickets.
I mean, it's just no team has ever gone bankrupt.
No.
You're not going to spend too much money.
No, they're
or
not.
Anything like that. It's like, I mean, outside, especially in baseball, where there is no hard cap, spend
yeah
some darn money.
Yeah.
And if you're worried about making that money back, I have a nice business venture for you. It's a stadium that you just spent all this money and built. It's going to, you know, have people coming back because they want to see a winning team.
Yes.
This is
but
business.
The only team I could say that could look like almost going bankrupt would be the Marlins. And then the Phoenix Coyotes. Those are about the only two teams.
And those are good examples. Those are good examples. And it is. It tells you right there too. Like, they're still around. Those teams are still
there.
They're
even still around. Yes.
Even when they run a franchise as horrible as the Phoenix Coyotes, it still is in existence.
It hasn't gone out of business yet.
It's a shell. I mean, it really is. But so it's a good one to bring up in this conversation.
Yeah, it is. But
I always appreciate the call, sir.
All right, you guys have a great week.
You too.
You too, man. You too. We'll talk again next week, hopefully. I always love talking with you. It's interesting to see going mm-hmm forward, too, how much the fan, because we're seeing it more and more in society. Mm-hmm. Workers have more power than ever. Mm-hmm. Certain groups that have never had any power have more power than they've ever had.
Yep.
I wonder if the fan is going to realize their power ever. Because as fans, we're so tied to our teams.
Yeah, exactly.
We're so glued to them.
Right.
I watched every minute I could of that Thursday night football game with the Bears and Commander, Commies.
Commies. I love it. The Commies.
I just hate that name so much. So I watch every, because I'm a silly sports fan. I didn't watch it because of the artistry. I didn't watch it because I was watching good football. It was good football. It was some of the worst football I've ever seen played. But I watched every second of it I could because I'm a diehard sports fan because I love my team. We do this as fans, and we're almost brought into question if we don't. Oh, how big
true.
Of a fan of you are. What do we do when we get around other fans of our team? You know, I'm a bigger fan than you are, or you know, all these things and stuff that we do with this stuff, but. Then it comes to our team, and then year in and year out, our team is putting out there nothing but junk, nothing but junk, and we keep going year in and year out. And you got to realize you have a certain amount of power as a fan, and it is your dollar, and how you use that dollar. It is your time, how you use that time.
Yep.
If you really want your team to listen to you, it's unfortunately the only way to do that.
Yep, yep. Or you could do something that that I advocate, radical. It's a radical decision, but... Get it out of the hands of the business people.
Yeah.
Make each team a local civic, thing, like a nonprofit organization. You have people, everyone can, you know, be a part of it. They can vote for owner, you know, who's going to run it, who's the manager, who's going to be that kind of stuff. You know, maybe not the everyday decisions, you know, like that, but get more democratic. Let's wade in. Do you know how people would love that? To get involved that way with their team? Oh, my gosh.
I've mentioned it before on the air. One of my darkest days, I wake up in the morning, and this is ages ago, and I see I hear on the news that there is a rumor that the Bears might be moving to Gary, Indiana, and be the Gary Bears because they want a new stadium and all this stuff and everything. And the owners, the McCaskies, are threatening to move the team and all this. And I remember this happened when I was living in Wisconsin.
Yep.
And I remember thinking about all my friends are Packer fans and think, well, they'll never have to worry about that. They have no fear with
that. No, exactly. They're never going to move.
And ever since that day, I will say this. And again, I'm obviously a Bear fan and all this.
Yeah.
My favorite thing in all of sports, I love home plate getting stolen or a kick return going for a touchdown, a game-winning goal, all this stuff. My favorite thing in sports is what exists with the Green Bay Packers in that city and that they are owned by the city. They're owned by the fan base.
Yeah.
I think it's the coolest thing in sports I've ever heard of. And as a kid hearing this, and as somebody who was afraid of my team moving and all this, and even afraid of them now, they're not the same Bears if they move them to Arlington. I'm sorry. It's not the same team to me. I'm not going to be able to root for them the same way. It may sound silly to most people out there, but to me, that's a huge difference. I love that about that franchise with the Packers. I think that is one of the most unique and cool things in sports, and it's personally my favorite thing about sports. I couldn't agree with you more about your statement.
I like a blueprint. I'd like that as a blueprint. Let's go with that. Yeah. That'd be cool. I think it would really engage people.
I wonder, though, Seth, you're never going to have a Packer fan say that give up their Packer card. You know, they're not going to do that. But I do wonder if, as our fans of the teams we're a fan of, we don't experience that. I wonder if it's got to have its pluses and minuses, I imagine.
Oh, I'm sure it does. I'm sure there are some, there's some things about it that would make it a little more, maybe not as streamlined, you know, maybe a little more chaotic and stuff, but.
Packers traditionally have not been about spending the same type of money as some teams do.
Right, right.
But I wouldn't say that they're pearl clutchers either. I don't think that they're a team.
No.
It's been more, I think that it's much more of a unique situation because they're a smaller team. They're the smallest team in all of professional sports.
Exactly.
So getting free agents isn't always easy to do.
Exactly, exactly. But, you know, they still seem to work well. Let's not talk about that right now.
Well, actually, we're going to touch on it just a little bit.
Oh, okay. All right.
Because I saw this over the last night, and I just thought this was an amazing stat.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to break any news to you guys. You noticed the Packers lost yesterday.
Right.
And many people have seen that Tampa Bay lost as well.
Wow.
And so did Baltimore.
Good grief.
Yesterday, Aaron Rodgers lost at home for the first time in 16 games.
Whoa.
Tom Brady lost to the Steelers for just the fourth time in 16 games.
Jeez.
So he just lost. That's the first time he's lost, or four times. And Lamar Jackson lost to an NFC team for the first time ever.
What?
Ever in
what?
His career.
Oh, my gosh.
Just a wild, weird weekend.
As the NFL has completely imploded, I don't know what's going on anymore, man.
With the NFL having every weekend has been like this,
yeah.
Where all bets are off.
All bets are off, man.
And then in the MLB playoffs had been a little bit of all bets are off.
Yeah, it's great.
I come back to my opening statement of the show. Why do you people gamble? Why does anybody gamble? Like, just
to reiterate,
just burn up your money. I mean,
just light it on fire.
At least you see what happens to it. At least maybe you got like 5 seconds of entertainment. I mean, I don't understand.
Or a lot of heartburn. I don't know. I don't know.
A little bit of both, probably. Hey, crazy weekend.
Yes.
Let's because we did promise to call. We're not going to talk football too. College or NFL, but we could talk some high school.
High school football. Let's go there.
Very successful weekend for a lot of our local teams.
Mm-hmm.
Just rewinding to Friday night, John Edwards against Almond Bancroft. John Edwards 52, Almond Bancroft 30. Lincoln Red Raiders roll Raiders 48-0 over Appleton West.
Wow.
Appleton West, their name is the Appleton West Terriers. I kind of like that. Or Terriers. I'm sorry, Terriers.
Terriors.
I thought it was Terriers.
Is it Terriers or Terrors?
It's just Terrors.
I think Terriers is better.
I like Terriers better, Terrors?
Actually. Yeah, no, yeah. I don't like that. Anyway.
Nakusa got beat by Shiocton, 41-0. Pittsville successful over Marathon, 36-3. And the Assumption Royals rolled with 55-0 over Webster.
Yeah. Oh, man. Assumption has been having one heck of a season. I got to say, they have been destroying everything in their path.
Yeah.
So.
And we're gonna continue to follow that too as
yes.
they go in. We go into postseason play.
That's right.
This is exciting.
Yes, it is.
Very excited. So Assumption is ranked third. Pittsville is ranked sixth. So they're going to be playing that game. That is going to be coming up on Friday. Friday, 6:50. Tentatively scheduled. We're hoping to have Randy Paul call that one.
Yep.
Don run the board, of course.
Yep.
But it would be on our sister station, WIRI.
Mm-hmm.
Our pregame would kick off at 6:50. Going to be exciting to see how that goes.
Yes.
We'll follow them as far as that we can and as far as they go.
Assumption's at home, which is cool. So that's nice, too. But let's do some more. I'm glad we get to broadcast a few more games here.
Looking at the rest of Group C, Deerfield will be taking on number one Cashton in Cashton on Friday. Highland against Blackhawk Warren, and New Lisbon will be taking on Ithaca. All those games are part of Group C. And again, as we mentioned, number six ranked Pittsville, who went 3-6 on the season, taking on number three ranked Assumption, who went 8-1 on the season.
Wow!
And
yes.
You're right, Seth. It is cool that they get that game at home.
Yes.
That. That's pretty cool for them. And just fun for the kids to get one more game. You know, I mean, that alone is exciting to me. That part makes it fun to me.
That's funny you mentioned Deerfield. That's where my sister works.
Oh, nice. That's cool. When it came to the sports weekend, anything stand out to you, Seth? Anything that you, because I know you had a very busy weekend with the play.
Yeah, wrapping up the play and everything. So I wasn't able, actually, to be honest, in the last few weeks, I don't even know what's going on with the playoffs of baseball. I mean, I've been able to follow that. But I was able to check up on everything. I was really thrilled to see both San Diego and Philly move on because that was unexpected.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone really had either of those. Disappointed, no Seattle. I really was rooting for them.
Mm.
But if I'm really pushing for Cleveland to win tonight because I would love to see a San Diego-Cleveland World Series. San Diego has never won the World Series.
Yeah.
And, of course, the Indians have not won. Or, excuse me, the Guardians. Woo, went back in time there. The Guardians have not won since 1948.
Longest team in baseball.
Now it is. They are now. Yep. For one, who have actually won a series. But, you know, because there's several teams, of course, who haven't won the series. But they're, the longest time.
Like you and the callers, I'm very similar. I'm not in the chalk. I like seeing teams that have never won before or haven't won in, like, you know, like you mentioned with Cleveland
there.
Very
long time, yeah.
I'm always, if it can't be my team, that's the thing I always end up rooting for.
Me too.
Players a little bit, you know, here and there. But for the most part, it's that. It always comes back to that. And that's really, whatever the sport, that's what stands out to me.
And Cleveland, I have one little thing in my heart because we mentioned Tito Francona. And I don't know how much time he's got left. He's had lots of health problems.
Yeah.
And who knows how much longer he's going to be able to manage. I'd love to see him go on a high note. That would be awesome.
Hall of Famer.
I would call if he takes if Cleveland can go all the way this year, he's the man who brought the championship to Boston and Cleveland. Yeah. Right now. He's in right now.
Yeah, go ahead and get your speech ready.
Yeah, exactly. But like, I think, yeah, without that, he still is a Hall of Famer.
Similar to Theo Epstein.
Theo Epstein, he's going to be definitely.
It's just a matter of time. I hope you got your speech ready, Matt. Yeah, that's going to happen. I did want to touch on this real quick, and we can actually bring this into next week's Playmakers as well.
Oh, okay.
But for those that did not hear, Amherst football has to forfeit all their wins because of an ineligible player.
Yes.
So one of the bigger teams that a lot of us were looking forward to seeing the playoffs, mm-hmm. not going to be there.
At all.
And by all rights, according to them, this was something that they were not aware of. And it was one player that this happened with. And nobody's happy. Not the WIAA for having to do this. Yep. Not Amherst, obviously. Not the community, obviously. And you feel for these players, especially the seniors on that team.
Yeah. Wow.
And I understand, well, why don't they just remove that player mm-hmm. and continue on? And that wouldn't be a rule. Then that's breaking the rule. If you bend the rule one place, you have to do it all over the place.
Right.
And sports cease to be what it's all about, which is about these kids.
Yes.
And we have to come back to that. And that's the unfortunate part of this, too, because that's the first thing I think of, the seniors on that football team that thought that they were going to go on to the playoffs, and now it's to cut short.
They're done, yep.
So you got a little homework this week, everybody, our Playmakers, alumni out there. Next week, I want to get into this a little bit more. I want to hear from the audience. I'd love to hear from some people from Amherst. I've actually got a couple of people I've reached out to, and we're hoping to have them join us next week.
Nice.
They couldn't join us today. I want to talk to the people about this and get your feedback on it. We'll also I've also reached out to some representatives at the WIAA to hear from them and get their side of this.
That'd be great.
Because I think it's a good lesson for us to learn and hopefully it doesn't happen to your team or your team again or something. Big thank you to Coach Peckman for joining us.
Yes,
that
very
was
nice.
Fun. That was a lot of fun. Roll Kings. And Seth, thanks for sitting in.
Oh, it's always fun.
We'll be back next week with more Playmakers brought to you by Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out here at WFHR.